The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
And welcome to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. So nice of you to join me today. This is Andrew Horowitz, and it's episode number 45. And today we have a very, very different style of what we're going to be doing because it is really a special episode, something different, because we are going to really be exploring the whole area of safety of your fixed income and to make sure that you understand in this incredibly, incredibly complex housing and credit crisis that we are entering into, that you are going to have the information you need to make sure that your money is safe and secure. I just came back from the Reuters Summit in New York, a special, there's about 4 days of conference, discussion, argument, panels, and it was all about the housing crisis, whether the American dream has now turned into the American nightmare. And as such, I have brought back a good amount of notes, some information for you, some areas that I am very, very concerned about. And I'm going to try to interweave some of the commentary that I have from the time I was there, as well as some other commentary from the summit that I think will be very, very important for you. I want you really to pay attention to this. This is much different than any of the other times where we've talked about maybe a stock or a sector or anything to do with my concerns about the general market. This is a extremely important issue for each one of us, whether you're a homeowner, whether you're an investor. I think we need to understand this. What we're going to do is get into that in a moment. I have a few things that I'm going to, again, a little bit of a different format today because it's just the two of us, or the few thousand of us, or the many thousand of us, and just we're going to be talking together without a guest. We'll go back to our regularly scheduled program style. Actually, it's going to be a short week, so we'll have another one very soon up. And but right now, I want to kind of get over some housekeeping, and then we're going to get right into this. First, there is a class coming up. Make sure to mark your calendars that on the 28th of February at about 5 o'clock at night, we're going to have another one of the free portfolio mastery courses. We had some scheduling issues with CyberTrading University, but I think we got that squared up. So if you want to get involved in that, it's totally free. I'll be teaching online. In the show notes, we'll have a link, or just go to the free course button on thedisciplinedinvestor.com and make sure you're there, because this particular course is going to cover the areas of how to make sure that your portfolio is good in all situations and give you some great tips and guidance on everything that I talk about, you know, and you know, how to really make sure that you have a disciplined approach and utilize the tools that you need to use. The second thing is, I just got the word that my book, The Disciplined Investor Essential Strategies for Success, has been approved. It's going to be on audible.com. So, you know, once upon a time, I made you an offer. I said, do me a favor, go to Amazon, buy a book, and leave me a review, and I'll send you a free copy of the audiobook. Well, I'm going to let that happen once again, because from here on, it's exclusively, or from then on, about in a few weeks, exclusively available on audible.com. So if you want to take me up on that offer, go right over to amazon.com, buy a book, write a review, send it to me at reviews@thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and we'll make sure to give you hook you up with that. Now that we got that out of the way, what I want to do is take a quick break. When we get back in just a few seconds, we're going to talk all about this. And what I want to leave you with and give you a taste for is a comment that was made by Robert Shiller when he was talking about some of this housing mess and some of the concerns he has right now that was made. And we'll set the stage for the discussion today. So we'll be right back on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
Well, I think that we may be at a historic turning point because we have seen twin bubbles. We saw in the 1990s a stock market bubble and then a housing bubble after that. And you never know what's happening next, but we've seen such a decisive turn in real estate prices that I think that there's at least a serious possibility that this is a historic turning point and that we'll see a correction that will last for many years.
And welcome back to episode number 45 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Andrew Horowitz here. And let me just kind of bring you totally to where my head's at and why I'm talking about this. And of course, my friends, I have been extremely negative on the markets. Here and there, I've given you some ideas. Last week, I gave you a few stocks that maybe do well, or at least my research has led me to believe that, you know, these are kind of stocks that should do well. If you didn't get your copy, by the way, just head over to the website. There's a link in last week's, in episode 44's podcast show notes. But what's really been concerning me has been the news, the economics, the data. But moreover, it seems that the information is leaking out way too slowly. And there's a lot of people that really don't have a grip on what they should know. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, what I'm saying here is that when we look at the markets and we look at the efficiency and information that's flowing out, what's happening now is there's a total breakdown and a dislocation from where we were in terms of transparency, ability to get information, and to what's really trickling out. And we could see that simply from looking back last July into where we are here. Last July, it was seemed to be that everybody was talking about liquidity, and I thought it was the only nut talking about how there's a huge liquidity crunch going on. But now we're seeing this liquidity crunch, and nobody really coming to the fore to give us, and maybe because they can't, which is even a scarier proposition of really what the problem is at its core. Let me give you what happened and why I'm bringing this up today for you, because I think if you're in stocks and you're thinking, why am I listening to this? Stick around for a while. I'm going to explain why this is very important to you. If you have a brokerage account, if you have a bank account, anything but maybe money in the mattress or in a safe, because that's fine, in my opinion. But right now, there's this incredible, just overall crisis, and it really deals with a confidence issue as well, which may heal itself eventually, but in the interim, it's going to be very scary. So I went to this Reuters summit. They have these summits ongoing, and it's pretty interesting that Reuters really does a top-notch job at bringing people in, experts in the field, to talk, be on a panel, discuss, and really bring to the fore much of the news that needs to be reported in an excellent manner. Well, traditionally, they haven't had any outsiders from the Reuters and their guests, etc. Well, this time there was a change to the way they did things, and Microsoft, the MSN Money team, I was their guest actually. They brought me up or invited me to New York to spend some time during this particular panel to listen in to Doug Kass, CEO of Toll Brothers, Bob Toll, Bruce Marks from the Neighborhood Assistance Corp, and MSN columnist Jim Juback. And the basic discussion surrounded the basic questions of, should the government bail out homeowners and owners, and how much further can prices fall when it comes to houses? Will the consumer continue to hold up, or will this trigger a recession? And really, who should take the blame? These are key components of what happened. The question is what to do about it. But what I did is I spent some time trying to understand who is going to be affected moving forward from the information that I gathered. And that information, like I said, we're going to interweave into this discussion in a moment with some recordings from the event itself. But here's some points that I want to bring up to you. It seems that there's a lot of people in press that are looking and reporting as to where we are today. But perhaps one of the biggest things that we should learn from this, again, is what we should be looking around the corner at. You know, kind of what's coming up. And here's my list. There are trouble for investors with certain types of money markets, because we're already seeing a kink and a chink, if you will, in the armor of money markets, which traditionally have a $1 value per share. And I'm gaining more and more concerned when I see that other instruments, such as the auction-backed and auction-based bonds, as well as a few different short-term floating rate seniors. And again, the list goes on to what these are, but essentially the short-term investments when it comes to fixed income, kind of like the investments for just a temporary holding place, are already showing huge liquidity problems. What that means is there have been reports over and over that there is the inability for people to get their money. Last week's Wall Street Journal on front page of section D talks about some investors forced to hold auction bonds. There was a woman, Naveen Ahuja, in Miami Beach, was planning on selling $665,000 in her auction rate securities. Again, these are securities that are short term, maybe 30 or 45, maybe even 60 days, that you put kind of like a CD in a way. But traditionally, there's been no liquidity problems at all. Nobody would have thought there was liquidity problems. But because we have such a crisis of confidence right now, she was told when she tried to sell them that she was not able to, that she had this money in SunTrust Investment Services, And they said, we're sorry, there's a liquidity problem right now, and you're not going to be able to get your money. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Wait. I told you this back, and I think it was maybe June or July, maybe even August of last year. The one thing you never, never, never want to say is, I'm sorry, you can't have your money. That is a surefire way to cause what we call a run on the bank. This particular circumstance is an auction rate security, which has this floating rate, and each auction, which could, again, could be 45 days or 30 days, different than in a regular bond, they reset the rate on an ongoing basis. And because of that, that's where the liquidity comes in, because they're kind of floating and they're short term and there's no problem. But you know what? When there's no ability to sell it because nobody wants to take the risk, because nobody has the confidence in the underlying circumstance of who's rating, what the bonds are, and if the person, place, corporation has the ability to pay back that bond, all bets are off. We also have a seizure in the, or a seize, or an outright just a freeze in the credit market in all areas, which can prevent local economies, your local city and governments from running. I mean, this is a serious situation. And then we look a little bit further and just jump right into the muni bonds, because the rating services are at such odds right now with anybody, whereas we're finding that we don't trust them. The muni bond market will cost to the municipalities significantly more to issue credit, because the agencies have screwed up. MBIA, FGIC, and AMBAC have screwed up so incredibly much in the ratings of these collateralized debt obligations, mortgage instruments, that there is no faith and no real good overall, not only the feeling of it from a confidence standpoint, there's really questioning whether their abilities to rate are any good, and not to mention the fact that we have question about the ability for them to insure. That's even a bigger problem. So what's going to happen is that the cost for municipal bonds will significantly increase for the municipalities, who are going to have to pay a much higher price in order to issue the same bond. That in itself is very concerning, because that's going to essentially, while maybe that will be a good thing, that's probably going to, that could have some effect on housing, et cetera. But, also they have a shrinking tax base right now due to foreclosures. So, again, we have this incredible domino effect and, this real, this kind of, it's a pressure cooker right now that's building. Pension plans are losing money, and the losses are due to the inability to price auction and other instruments that are asset backed. And we have seen, in Florida, we saw the Florida state financial pools that were used for a backup for many schools and municipalities, as well as other agencies of the municipality, lost about 50% of their asset value because there was no ability to really do a good job at valuing them. And there was a run, really truly a run on that by the various people that could take out money, saying, I'm taking my money out right now before anybody else does, because I want to make sure that I have the ability to do so. And that caused a huge, huge, huge drop. And they actually shut it down for about a week. There was no withdrawals allowed. And there was a lot of questions. And that was only a couple, 3 months ago. But let me continue on and tell you some other things that are going on. We have now in the making a student loan market crisis. Again, we have defaults, foreclosures, bankruptcies building the record right now. I think right now, from my last reading on this and last statistics that I saw on this, was that in 2008 so far, we are just about approaching the entire year 2007 for some of these key statistics. That is scary. The student loan market is showing signs, and that's Sallie Mae, of the inability to get credit. People are just not going to put their money there. And what's going to happen to student loans? Again, it's all leading down a path, which I'll get to in a minute. There's going to be also a fallout. We're starting to build this run on the bank situation. Some of the smaller banks and the regional banks that will eventually have the inability because they will have no credit to give, and they're going to have a disproportionate amount of defaults and foreclosures on anything they kept, any of the mortgages that, and loans that they kept, inclusive of credit cards, et cetera, that they put in their name versus just selling them off afterwards or just moving them to like a reinsurer, but a remortgager where they just take it off the books immediately. That is a huge concern because as we start gaining momentum with these concerns, I am very nervous that there's going to be a lot of lockdowns happening moving forward. Now, here's what you need to do. Number one, you need to make sure that the bank that you're in is not only large, I'm not just saying just in, you know, in terms of size, but they have significant deposits. How do you find out? Well, obviously, with what's going on and things are moving so quickly, that's a big concern, and we don't know that answer. But what we can do is make sure that you only have, number one, the max amount that you can put into any bank, the 100,000 magic mark, and you know how to work that per person. Is FDIC insured, don't have anything further in there. That's the first thing. The second thing is nothing exotic. Nothing exotic. What do I mean by that? Well, when you have exotic instruments, it's something that has anything other than savings, money market, or CD on it. I do not want to see on a brokerage account or on a bank account anyone right now having anything exotic for their cash position. If you see money market plus, find out what that plus means. If you find that you have a savings account floating or a savings account senior, or you have a CD with an option, anything that has an alternate name, I want you to check it out immediately. Find out what that means, because I don't want you getting caught up in a situation where we had this woman here in Florida where she couldn't get out her money because it was frozen in an illiquid market, not realizing that that's what she was in. In addition, if you have money in a brokerage account right now, let's just call it the ABC brokerage account from the ABC broker, right? Okay, follow me. Well, many of these brokers out there, many of them are having huge problems. And I'm going to tell you how this went, and we're going to actually play you a clip in a moment why this is. But if you have any money in this, they're starting to move money from place to place to cover themselves for liquidity, because the fact of liquidity, as we've been talking about, is so stifled right now and so shut down. What they're doing is they're finding other places. I do not want them grabbing money from anything that is, by law, it's probably legal for them to move from one place to the other and take the money and move it over. And if something goes worse, they end up having a problem and then you'll be in trouble. So therefore, a brokerage account needs to be U.S. Treasury backed right now. Very important. If you don't know if there's any subprime, if there's any other floating rate instruments, any other mortgage-backed instruments inside of there at all, fine. Just go simply find the U.S. Treasury money market from your broker. Banks may not have that as much, but again, let's deal with the brokers first, because that's what we're talking about, our investments. I don't want to see your hard-earned cash that's sitting on the sideline, hopefully, right now, really having any trouble, okay? So listen to this right now, and you'll understand what I'm talking about this particular circumstance when it comes to how this all works and why this is affecting the brokers.
The mortgage crisis has never been about home ownership. There's six major players in this scheme, and let's call it what it is. It's a scheme. It's the home ownership deception scheme. The six major players. On one end, who's on the hook are the borrowers. On the others are the investors. The four in the middle, the brokers, the lenders, the investment bankers, and the rating agencies, they're the ones with no skin in this scheme and have made off with billions of dollars. This was, after the high-tech boom, what was the next investment vehicle that Wall Street was going to push? Well, before 2007, the most valuable, the safest investment in the world was what? American real estate. Couldn't go wrong if you invested something based on American real estate. Then how do we take advantage of that? How does Wall Street take advantage of that? Well, they package mortgages together and they sell it at a higher return. You can't lose. Best investment in the world, highest return. There is a huge demand. One problem, not enough product. Where do you get the product? The product are the borrowers. We need more product. What happened first? high-rate subprime loans. That was okay, not enough product. Second product out there, a strangulation arm, an adjustable-rate mortgage, but not the kind of adjustable-rate mortgages we used to know, where if the LIBOR or the prime went up, the payments go up, and they go down, the payments go down. No, we have a strangulation arm that says even that my payments are going to double regardless of how the market goes. Couldn't get enough of that product. Third product, let's do a negative amortization product. Well, I'm going to pay less every month, but I'm going to owe more. Well, then that couldn't get enough of that product, option arms. And the final product was the no documentation loan. Well, that went bust immediately. They're defective products by definition. So when you recognize that these are defective products and this is orchestrated to generate billions of dollars out there for the four players in the middle, then what's the solution out there? The solution is that the government, Congress, and our administration have to say these are defective products and you have to go in and you have to change those products to make them affordable like they were done on day one.
And that was Bruce Marks from Neighborhood Assistance Corporation. He was very passionate and very animated through the conference and through the panel session that I attended. But I think that the thing that I really want to get to is how is it going to affect you? Why is, even though in between we have these various players, if you will, in this scheme that had developed, and it's not quite over yet, by the way. You can still find some adjustable rates and zero interest, you know, interest only and negative amortization, and really probably some questionably, you know, some ones that don't have the high level of credit requirements. But nonetheless, the bigger issue right now, why I'm so concerned, is because of the banks and the brokers, of how, in fact, they are, again, moving things from one place to another to cover things. And I think I think Jim Zuback from MSN Money, you know, probably said it best. So listen to this.
For the last few weeks, banks and investment banks on Wall Street and in European financial capitals have been hoping that they can muddle through. They were hoping that the worst of the mortgage-backed crisis in the financial markets was over, and that they wouldn't have to sell other things in their portfolios, that they could hold on to these loans and these derivatives and not sell them in the market at lower prices, but simply hold them until things got better. After all, why sell at 60 cents or 70 cents to the dollar when you think you're near a bottom? They were hoping they could hold these things and that values would gradually rebound over the next quarter, two quarters, three quarters. Well, this hope looks like it's about to fail. It now looks like we're about to see another round of write-downs and sales, not of mortgage-backed securities, but of other things, things backed by commercial mortgages, things backed by student loans, things backed by buyout loans. In all these areas, there's increased pressure on the banks to sell now because trends are still running against them, and it looks like we've got another leg down, and the crisis is not nearly over. Oddly enough, one source of the pressure on these loans comes from the Federal Reserve's rate cuts. Remember, the Federal Reserve has been cutting interest rates to try to get the markets functioning better, to take some of the pressure off the banks, to help reliquify the banks. But in this part of the market, those interest rate cuts have worked to depress the value of those loans. Most of these loans are floating rate loans. That means as interest rates go down, the yield on these loans go down, and the payments to investors who hold the loans goes down. Investors who hold these loans, looking ahead, say, oh, we're not near the bottom on the Federal Reserve's rate cuts. We're going to see another one in March, another one in April, so I'm going to sell these now before the value of my loan goes down even further. That's putting pressure on this whole market, which puts pressure on the banks and investment banks to write these down. So I think we're about to see over the next month or two a whole nother round of write-offs, a whole nother round of sinking prices, and it won't be from the mortgage-backed securities, it'll be from different parts of the market, and that will indeed feel like a whole new problem has been unearthed. It's all part of the same problem in actuality, but I think it's going to feel like, hey, we're not at the bottom yet, and that will put more pressure on the stock market and the bond market.
And I also got through that. There were some questions from the audience and from the various press and the experts, and a lot of people were really concerned about, you know, why is it their responsibility and why is it them that has to bail out people? And I got to be honest with you. truth be known, I said this before, you're screwed either way. Whether you're going to pay taxes, and you, when I mean you, I mean me too, whether we're going to pay taxes that are higher because of the bailout, or whether we're going to have a huge drop in property values, or we're going to have to pay for it some other way, the fact of the matter is that you're going to have to pay for it. And then we get, I think the biggest issue that we really need to contend with here is the fact that it is, we're all in this together. No matter who is to blame right now, we're all in this together. And this question that was said, and this discussion by a gentleman that asked about, why is it really my responsibility, and why is it that I have to really deal with this at all? I think really brings up the whole point and brings it to a head.
What do you say to the guy like me who was, you know, we all educated and said, you know something, I'm not going to go with these teaser rates because once it jumps, I can't afford it. So I'm stuck here renting while some guy said, I'll do the teaser. Now some of you guys want to bail them out. Shouldn't the markets just let it ride a guy like me says, hey, I'm not going to do the teaser rate. Wait. I'm going to be a good guy and not do it because it's not going to work. But Everyone else is getting bailed out, and I'm still renting.
There is one thing I want to say for anybody who says, I did the right thing, let the other people drown. What I say to you is, first thing, go to your family, go to your relatives and ask them, are you at risk of losing your home? Then go to your colleagues at work and ask them, are you at risk of losing their home? And then go to your neighbors and ask them, because invariably you'll find out that people closest to you are this close to foreclosure, but they're embarrassed. They're in the shadows, and they don't want to tell you. And then come back and say to me, they should drown.
But this is how we got into this problem in the first place. It's called moral hazard. And basically, you know, the issue is if there's no risk to taking risk ultimately because someone's going to pick up the tab, you run a replay of this scenario over and over and over again. And that's what the Fed did by bailing us out and leaving interest rates at 1%. My real worry is that what we're going to do is we're going to have a temporary papering over this problem, and we're going to be right back where we were, either in this market or some other market in 2009, when the Fed is going to be faced with an economy that's not doing particularly well and a housing sector that doesn't look terribly robust and interest rates at 2.5%. And inflation running at 5%, and it's going to say, gee, what should we do now? The painful thing or the easy thing?
Obviously, what do you think the answer to that is? I mean, the problem is that when you think about all the complexity of this and all the people involved here, the first thing is that it is going to be the desire of all of those that have to make very important decisions, a la the Fed and our current government and administration, is to take the easy way out just for the moment because to see if things can work out. But, you know, at the same time, you have to realize that long term there needs to be some regulation because in the end, the people that got hurt with this, the greatest are really the people with the least amount of money. And why do I say that? Well, the American dream that was this incredible opportunity for people to own their own homes, which was, this built upon by the biggest of banks and by the biggest of brokers and creating all sorts of very exotic style of lending instruments, has put most of those out in the cold right now. That's the fact. So, you know, we're looking for something that we can hang our hats on. Doug Cass from Seabreeze Partners had a pretty good, interesting, or at least an interesting plan. And, you know, let's take a listen to what he said in terms of what regulation could be and what the opportunities are that he's actually going to be presenting to some of the current presidential candidates.
We basically have to stop the foreclosures and begin to whittle down the inventory of unsold homes. This will serve to remedy what ails the credit system of RMBS, CMBS, CLOs, CDOs, and it would aid the duo line insurance companies as well. And I think in the fullness of time, the banking industry write-downs would then become write-ups. And this is the interesting thing is the mechanism and the solution is already in place. You don't need new legislation. And it is Section 8 of the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974. These are four or five steps that I would take. Number one, the homeowner who can't currently service his debt and uses his home as a primary residence, would refinance his mortgage at a bank with a new fixed mortgage at a subsidized rate of, say, 1%. It would be guaranteed by the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration. Two, the bank providing the new mortgage loan pays off the homeowner's previous mortgage with the proceeds of the new loan. Three, the bank gets the new loan off its balance sheet, allowing it to continue to lend, and sells the FHA-guaranteed mortgage to Ginnie Mae at a modest premium to par, basically paying a little spread for his effort, the bank's effort in originating the loan. And finally, number four, obviously Ginnie Mae would take a sizable loss. I have estimated the loss to be about $160 billion, which is in line with the two proposals. And I don't think it's bad considering the magnitude of the problem and the solution it can bring. And then, in turn, Ginnie Mae would obviously sell at market rates, incurring that loss to Fannie and Freddie, and then it would recirculate the system. As I said in my opening remarks, unfortunately, the executive branch, Treasury, and Federal Reserve, which has oversight for the banking industry, is timid and lacks creativity.
There seems to be a consistent level of, you know, I would say it would be lack of conviction and a lack of confidence in our current administration to really pull off any significant regulation. Bob Toll from the Toll Brothers, the CEO of Home Builder Toll Brothers, you know, time and time again talked about, you know, how he didn't feel it would be as well as same thing with Bob Cass here. Doug Cass, excuse me, talking about how he felt that they were timid. Bob Toll really added a few pointers to this, but seems to be on the opposite end of this discussion from Mr. Marks, for example, who obviously is in the trenches with the lower income housing, where Toll Brothers has some of the highest level of homeowners in terms of dollars per home out there. But let's listen to Bob Toll for a moment, and then we're going to get back to the list of things that you need to be aware of, and I'm going to give you some solutions on what you need to do, because all this is ending up with the discussion of the fact that there's still a lot more out there, and there's going to be a lot less liquidity, availability of funds than there was, and that means that banks, brokerages, I'm afraid, are going to be feeling a lot more pain and really going to be getting involved in potentially having some additional problems for some of the fixed income. Take a listen to this.
I think the solution is government regulation. We have speed limits. Our cars go 120, but we only go 55. You're not allowed to win the game. If you do, it's called monopoly, and they bust that up, and that's why we have antitrust. So I don't see any reason why we can't say, thou shalt not create a mortgage for more than X percent, and I'll leave that to the staff to figure out. And thou shalt not have a credit rating below so-and-so, or you will not get a mortgage, et cetera. So I do think that we need government regulation. I don't think we're going to get it out of the current administration, but I do think we're going to get it if this tragedy lasts a lot longer. Sooner or later it must come. The only problem, the real fear we have, is that if we do work ourselves out of this mess and there isn't any regulation, then the speculative investor, the greed factor that bought so many more homes than were really owner-occupied necessary, that then became sellers. So you had, on a supply-demand equation, probably a 40% or a 30% flip of that formula. If we don't get regulation, this whole thing can happen again, only the second time around it'll be even worse.
All right, so as I was mentioning, that there is a consistency in talking about some kind of government regulation or some type of government bailout stepping in to help out, because the additional problems that I'll mention right now are really somewhere right around the corner. We have a run on the bank scenario, which is starting to build, where people are getting concerned. I am concerned, and I'm telling you right now to make sure to find those money markets that have alternative investments in them and move out of them very, very quickly. Don't panic. Just do it. The second thing is that we are also going to see FDIC concern over if they can handle a major loss and what is the stretches and how far this can stretch. We're also probably going to see something along the lines of mutual fund distribution freezes for illiquid fixed income securities. Think about that for a second. If we have a mutual fund that has underlying the wrapper of the mutual fund, maybe some of these auction rate securities or possibly some of these other mortgages that are illiquid because pricing concerns are out there. And again, whether it's real or just a confidence issue right now, the fact is that they cannot give you money that they don't have. Think about it. So what you need to do is you need to make sure that you right now should be saying, let me look at the entire list of my fixed income assets. What do I own? Where is it? How do I make sure that I am not going to be squeezed here? And then finally, I think that in terms of just trying to prove this point for you and really drill it home, if it hasn't been done so already, and I'm sorry to be such a real downer today. I mean, I know that usually I try to be kind of, I try to be very even and balanced and have my guests talk about, you know, both sides of things and really hit them in a way that can give you the education and the information you need. But right now I am serious as can be about this. But sovereign debt will be drying up as foreign countries are really, they're not feeling their own, their own problems right now because their economies are okay, but and they don't have the contagion like we have, but the sovereign debt that will be brought into our country should be probably drying up, if in fact we can't get a handle on our own problem here. And until that, and until they're willing to do so because they're unwilling to risk in the potentially illiquid positions that may ensue, that's going to create even more pressure. So now, we're going to summarize all this when we get back in just 30 seconds. All the things that you need to be aware of, and I'm going to throw out one more issue to you and then give you some solutions to what you should be doing and where we should be going and really kind of wrap this up and, hopefully just all go have a drink. I mean, it is quite depressing, the situation, what this has brought us to. But we'll be right back on the Disciplined Investor Podcast, episode number 45, talking about the banking and mortgage and home crisis and my experience with at the Reuters Summit on Housing. We'll be right back.
Did you know that bulls sometimes like the naked option? Bears sometimes buy butterflies. And diamonds are some trader's best friend. And there's nothing so satisfying as when we see our shorts come down. Unless, of course, everyone else has longs and are quickly covering their shorts. Did you ever see hammers with long bodies and short shadows after a shooting star appeared just prior to a dark cloud cover? There have been numerous sightings lately of long collars used upside down, head and shoulders. Sound like gibberish? Well, they're not. These are all real investment terms that you need to know. Learn the lingo and techniques of pro traders before you invest, and you too may even own spiders or even a new convertible. The Disciplined Investor, the groundbreaking book that gives you professional investment tools page after page. The Disciplined Investor. Get your copy and profit from it. Written by Andrew Horowitz.
And welcome back to the Disciplined Investor Podcast, the depressing show, the depressing episode number 45 on the housing crisis. As I had mentioned, just to kind of recap and to bring it back up to speed here, just, you know, this was a pretty neat conference. I really thought I was very pleased to be going, and I think the timing is, it could have been a little bit earlier. I kept on asking questions of all the panelists, you know, what are we doing? What are we looking forward to around the corner? Let's kind of wake up to that. I think the student loan crisis and, some things. But here's some opportunities and what we should be doing. I think that we should really get into. And by the way, before I forget, I want to make sure that you're aware of this. And I want to make sure you hear me very clearly. On the 28th of February, I'll be teaching the course online. It's called the Portfolio Mastery. Great course. Really a great course. On our site, on the show notes, and on thedisciplinedinvestor.com, make sure to go over there. Click the button that says free course. Sign yourself up. It's in the evening, 5 o'clock at night, and it's going to be great. You really enjoy that. And the second thing is, you know, I bring this to you right now, advertiser free, if you will, but just I give you a plug every once in a while. Do me a favor, head on over to Amazon, pick up a copy of The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success. You know, if you would have used my strategies and you would have followed along, you would have not had any housing, any mortgages, or any of this crap in your portfolios for the last 2 years. We had zero real estate exposure for the last 2 years. No kidding. So if you do that and you provide a review, I will be happy to give you a free copy of the audiobook, And you can just download it and listen to it on your MP3, your iPod, your Zune, whatever you're listening to on out there. And just send that review and give me confirmation to reviews@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. And finally, the other thing is I want to start preparing. I'm going to tell you about this next week. We're going to have a show coming up. It's going to be a call-in show. So get your questions ready. I will give you the phone numbers. Matter of fact, I'll put it on the site right now. The telephone number for you to call in to ask your questions, and I'm going to answer your questions on the podcast. It's going to be kind of like a call-in radio show kind of thing. So if you have any questions on this or any other topics, this is the time to do so. I'll give you a phone number to call. So, all right, so buy the book, go sign up for the course, and the phone number that you want is 877-623-8473. You can start calling right now and just asking questions, and I'll answer them. And I think it's going to be in 2 weeks we're going to answer all those questions and have a real field day and a party answering all your financial questions. It could be about individual stocks, bonds, mutual funds, the economy, taxes, whatever you want. Again, it's 877-623-8473. Okay? All right. So let's get back to what I promised you, and this is it. Where are the opportunities? Where are the problems? So number one, go and check through all your fixed income. Be very clear. I'm not kidding around. I want to make sure you have the cleanest fixed income and cash that you've ever had before without any kind of oddities to it. Where are the benefits for us? Where are the opportunities here? Okay. Well, number one, real estate. Wait a minute. What do you mean real estate? Well, what about rental real estate? There is going to be an opportunity very quickly around the corner where we're going to find many people out of their homes because they can't afford it, and they're going to be going where? Into rental real estate. So what we want to start doing is looking for opportunities in the rental real estate market, whether you're going to be buying your own property or whether you're going to buy an ETF / mutual fund / private investment. Think about it. We're not going to do it right now, but I want you to think about it, okay? The second thing that I want you to think about, which can be very, very interesting, is going to be the opportunity that when this does bottom, that we're going to have a huge rebound in things like municipal bonds, et cetera. Municipal bonds right now, I want you to start thinking about looking for short-term, 10 years or under, municipal bonds, okay, that are owned inside of either a mutual fund or on their own that have high credit ratings right now in quality states. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that we want to have a more affluent state. We want to have, unfortunately, we want to invest in those bonds of places that have a good amount of money and jobs, et cetera. For example, where we don't want to invest right now, just as an idea, is Detroit, Michigan. Michigan has a horrible economy, and that's going to trickle out all the way through the state, and that is not a place we want to invest. But right now, we're finding a dislocation in the area of municipal bonds and their actual pricing. There's a great opportunity there. Now, on the side, I'll tell you another place that's going to be a great investment. Unfortunately, you probably can't do it. Or can you? Lawyers. Lawyers are going to be benefiting from foreclosures, bankruptcy, and liability lawsuits, right? Doesn't that make sense? Here's a quick idea for you, okay? A quick idea. Prepaid legal services. Now, Prepaid Legal Services is a company that pretty much acts like a, they're like an HMO. I mean, you know, you pretty much pay in a certain amount of money, maybe at $25 per month, and you have legal expenses that are paid for by the plan. I mean, essentially what happens is you have, not everything, but similar to an HMO, there's certain things covered and certain things aren't. But you know what? You have oftentimes your middle to lower income families that are taking advantage of this because it is so expensive to hire an attorney for many of them that, you know, there's about 1.5 million people that are covered under these plans right now. And how many of them are really going to be actively involved in maybe some additional proceedings, et cetera? And how many more people are going to utilize this service because they realize they're going to need an attorney moving forward? PPD is the symbol. Take a look at it. Take a very careful look at it. Recently, it came out with earnings, the stock's about $46 or so, $46.50 per share. It was as high as about $56 back in about a month ago. It's about $46 right now, but I think there may be a slight opportunity here. Don't be betting the farm. Just take a look at it. I want you to take a look and tell me what you think about this prepaid legal services. In addition to that, again, the real estate market will eventually start to move, but I think that the additional problem, let me turn to the other side again one more time, is that there may be one more problem out there, and that is this. That I think there's going to be continual fallout for certain retail. We saw the Sharper Image and Lillian Vernon go bankrupt or at least file for bankruptcy protection last week. And I think there's going to be additional problems for certain retail, large stores that are trying their best to compete with out-of-date products. And also the travel and tourism industries on the whole. We may see things like the discount-based areas doing well. But I think if you consider all the things that are going to trickle down and spread from this contagious cancer, if you will, and move throughout the entire body, as we know as the economy, we'll see those as well be very concerned. But again, back to the point here and back to the basic issue that I really wanted to deal with today, and I really want to spend a lot of time on because I think it's extremely important that you understand this, is that very simply that you need to make sure that your fixed income is taken care of. Now, I'm going to finish with this point. Robin the Hood. You know, if this was a movie, and the movie was called The American Dream for some time, I think we're going to have to rename this to A Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, unfortunately, the focus of who really has to suffer and who really is going to be the ones that take the brunt of this, as I mentioned before, has not been addressed by anybody significantly here. We've been focused so much on just the companies, the financials, the mortgage companies. And I think that it's going to be soon addressed because it's starting to hear murmurs that Wall Street essentially took money from the lower income families and then repositioned it to the upper crust who were making these gigantic loans and creating these very exotic paper for them to and mortgages for them to buy their homes. And these were created to help with home ownership, but the lack of understanding and failure to appropriately plan for contingencies is really causing a lot of these people to be left out in the cold. I mean, really out in the cold. This unreported truth is that much of this money was gained from transaction and directed from investors. I think that you better be very careful with any ownership with companies like a Citibank who really had their fingers in all this, and there's going to be a backlash of this. But again, this whole point here was to really give you the heads up that there's a lot more coming, and give you the lowdown on the summit that I attended, and to give you a warning, a heads up, to make sure that you have shored up your positions in your fixed income. Any questions you have, ask Andrew at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Make sure to visit the site, please. Make sure to pick up your copy of the book. I think it's going to help you. It's $20. I mean, you know, really, one idea is going to make you a bunch of money. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for subscribing, and thank you very kindly for all of your emails that you send me. I'd appreciate it. Do me a favor. Write me at askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Tell me your questions on this one. Tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you're doing to make sure that your position is cleaned up well, and make sure to start getting your questions in line for that show we're going to be doing very shortly. Thanks so much for listening. Episode number 45 is, well, it's over. See you real soon. Be careful. It's Andrew Horowitz, Disciplined Investor. Have a great week.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.